Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we'd like to begin to think about the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians. Paul wrote, as you would probably be aware, to a number of different churches, churches that he had planted, churches that he had been very involved in. And sometimes churches that perhaps for various reasons he was not able to stay too long, but he always had a heart for them. He was always longing for maturity and growth and reaching out with the gospel. The Colossian Christians were being pounded to some degree by false doctrine. They were hearing things about Christ, that he wasn't really God. And Paul is very, very enthusiastic to assure them and to remind them that this foundational reality that Jesus, the one who is the man of Nazareth, is truly God in human form. When Paul is writing, he's aware of the wider scene, so not just of them as Colossians, but he's happy to say in chapter 1, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Basically, he's saying to them, look, you are part of a much wider thing, but you're in it. The stream of fruitfulness, the stream of gospel heritage, gospel knowledge, Jesus filling lives, it's happening all over the place, but it's been happening among you. And then perhaps a little bit like the Ephesians, but he says, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. What Paul is very much aware of is the value of prayer. He can't be with them all the time, and he can't do what we can do today with radio, with internet, with podcast, but he could pray. And he was diligent in calling upon God. And it's always fascinating and very, very challenging to see that Paul keeps praying about their maturity, about their growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with the power of God, and enjoying the fact that they've been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son of God. These are things that he stresses, but he also takes some time in this opening chapter to remind them that yes, Jesus, the Son, is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's lifting up Jesus and he's just making it clear God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ. Jesus, truly magnificent, glorious God, wonderful Saviour. He finished the chapter just really in the vein that he's begun by saying, to this end I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me to admonish you, to teach you, and to present you mature in Christ. What a wonderful goal, and we believe Paul achieved that in many places. We must pause now for some worship. My good friend Patrick will join me just to explore a little bit more Colossians chapter 1.
My God lives, breathing life into the weary. My God heals, and he wants to make me whole. We were made to reflect you in your beauty. onward I fly as your spirit makes me new. My life shall point to you, renewed, refined, restored. Onward I soar, in my weakness you'll be strong, an adopted child of God, I am yours. Our God speaks, building faith into his children. Words of truth, bringing freedom from our shame.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come now to join Richard to talk further about these verses from Colossians chapter 1. So, Richard, first of all, give us a little bit of the background. How much do we know about the Colossians and who they were?
Well, we don't know a great deal. I mean, Paul went to Colossae, and we know that when he went to places he preached the gospel. It's interesting that this letter also talks about Timothy, so I guess Timothy must have been involved in the mission as well. But it's a wide area, so sometimes when you're talking about Philippi, it's a very precise city among a number of others. But the Colossians is the sense of a group of people, maybe a little bit scattered, but who did come together and who were a genuine church.
Right. Now, one of the major themes of this, you know, as you said, really begins in verse 15, I suppose, talking about Christ and who he is and whether or not he is God. And that's a theme, isn't it, that's been debated and discussed all down the centuries. So what do we know about the relationship, if you like, between Christ and God and whether Christ was indeed God?
Right, well, that is such a fundamental issue, because obviously there are many, many religions, many faiths, and I guess you could say that within those faiths there are individual people who have some significance. But for Christians, to say that Jesus is God is just absolutely sweeping away all the opposition. If he is God, as we believe he is God, then that means there's only one Saviour and his name is Jesus. It just gives Jesus the credence, the value, that he thoroughly deserves, because it is just incredible that he should come from heaven to be born a man, and yet he is God in human flesh.
I suppose in many ways we don't see those exact words within the pages of the New Testament, Jesus is God, but we see an awful lot of hints, like in that first line in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. Saying the same thing, do you think?
Yes, I would say, in fact, there are strong statements that Jesus is God. It's just that when Jesus was ministering on the earth, he wanted people to discover who he was by looking and seeing, by understanding, well, he's got to be someone different. He didn't want people to say, oh, he's God because he says so. It was more than that. It needed to be demonstrated, and Jesus did demonstrate that very much.
Paul goes on from verse 24 here in 1 Colossians, really talking about, well, he uses an interesting phrase, really, because he says, filling up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. He's talking about his own sufferings, as almost as though there is something lacking in Christ's.
Yes, this is a very challenging phrase, but I think that it's not so much to do with there is any inadequacy in Christ's afflictions, but of course the number of people that are going to be touched by the gospel is still growing. I mean, the population of the world at the time that this is written is infinitely smaller than the population today, and who knows how big it will be when Jesus comes. So I don't think it's talking so much about there was something inadequate. I think it's more talking about people in your day and generation need to see the suffering of Christ and understand why he went through what he did go through, and people in future generations will need to see it as well.
There's a final verse which struck me in verse 28, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. I think the word in your translation was mature. Just struck me as an interesting word to use, perfect or mature. At what point are we perfect as Christians?
Well, we realise that when we see him, we shall be like him, and it's a process. We're fully accepted now, we're fully forgiven now, but we're not perfect now. It's a work, an ongoing work. But it was a commendable aim. Paul said, I don't want you to be baby Christians. I really want you to be strong, mature men and women. And that's what I'm aiming for. That when stuff comes your way, trials, tribulations, pain, suffering, that you still stand. That's what he's looking for.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it there and see how the rest of this letter to the Colossians unfolds in the coming weeks. Richard, thank you very much indeed. So, yes, join us again next time as we continue looking at the letter to the Colossians in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.